Welcome to the Megacast.
Good day, Internet. It's the Megacast episode 34. We've got Joey, Wilco and Butters with us again. Good evening, guys.
Hello.
Evening.
Hello.
Hutto, unfortunately, this is the third week in a row. He's very sorry, but he actually had a really, really good reason for not being here this week. Baby hasn't arrived yet, but I'm sure he'll give us the rundown when he is back, hopefully next week on the Megacast. As I said, this is episode 34. It's currently the 7th of March, and boys, whew, gentlemen, we are in a post-Switch release world. It's out. It's in the wild. Yeah, apparently. Well,
when did that happen?
I'm not too sure, but we'll get into a bit of that later. For the moment, Wilco, what have you been up to over the past 7 days, my friend?
Look, my life has revolved around Horizon Zero Dawn for about 6 days, and then Wildlands, Ghost Recon Wildlands last night at midnight. I got on and started playing it straight away, so that has been my week in gaming, and oh my God, what a good week in gaming it's been.
Yeah, what do you think of Horizon?
I love it, man. Okay, so I've probably sunk 12 to 13 hours into it, maybe more, more.
Probably about the same as me, really.
I haven't left Nora, and level 21.
Oh, Jesus.
I've just been running around doing all the side quests and just having fun killing robots and overthrowing robots and all that kind of stuff, and just having fun with that.
Man, I think I left Nora at like level 6 or something.
Yeah, no, I'm like, the quests I'm getting are level 8 to 12, maybe 15 if I'm lucky.
So, yeah, okay.
I've taken so long. I'm taking my time with this game, which is
Can
really
I say,
good.
If you think it's good now, get out of Nora, because goddamn.
Look, I've got issues with the game. It's definitely not a perfect game. The dialogue options are terrible. The facial animations are terrible.
You see, interestingly enough, the facial animations, it's weird, and I've seen this reported in a couple of places. It's like they get slacker the further away from the main storyline you go. Yep. So all the main storyline missions have decent facial animation and pretty decent lip sync and stuff. And the further, like the smaller side quests and stuff that you take up, like the more sort of, you know, uncanny valley they get. It's really weird.
Yeah, no, first thing, my partner Alexis was sitting there watching it with me. She goes, wow, they've really got to work on the facial animations. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's what I've been saying for a long time. But look, it's got some issues where
a black guy like dies and he just kills over looking like he just farted. That's so good.
Yeah, there's some inappropriate looks at certain times. I don't like this. The way they're telling the story, I guess it is like I've got to sit there and go through every single option, and then it doesn't make sense. So they're asking me about this, and then I ask about this. And then I've got to go back and ask a question that just seems completely out of context. Like, nothing flows in the dialogue trees, but I have to do every one of them to get the story behind what's going on.
Yeah, you see, that's a problem in all those multi-dialogue games. Like, it's the same in Mass Effect, it's the same in Oblivion and Skyrim and all that sort of stuff. It's just, that's just the price you pay for having those dialogue options in there instead of it just being a static storyline that's told to you.
Maybe they should have pulled back and given you that information another way. And just gave you less options. Like when there's 15 options in the tree, when you go through all the different branches, and you have to hear it all to find the story, that's a bit much.
Yeah, I understand that. It is pretty story heavy on a lot of stuff, especially early on. I found there's a lot of information and a lot of text to hear and read, especially if you're playing with subtitles like I do. Yeah. But yeah, look, it's pretty damn cool. But you like the game overall?
Oh, overall, it's probably the best game I've played this year, and I'm really enjoying it more than most games. Like, I'm not a completionist. I just want to do the story generally. But as you can tell from this game, I'm playing it very much like a completionist. Yeah. Like, I'm traveling halfway across the countryside just to find a metal flower that's on my map for no other reason than I shouldn't be there. And I got those bird things. I started taking them down, the flying... I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, okay.
And but I've got... Best favorite part is when you override a sawtooth and then you let the sawtooth just go rank
how good is that,
all the
hey?
Other animals, all the other
how
robots
good is
around
that? Yeah, when you override that, oh my God, that's so much fun. And it just rips everything to shreds. It's brilliant, brilliant. But yeah, we'll get into what I've been up to a bit later. But Joey, you've been enjoying a bit of Hollow Knight from what you have told me.
Still, it's so fucking good.
Yeah?
I'm loving the shit out of it. Like, it's been a pretty good probably 5 or 10 years for, like, the Metroidvania comeback sort of thing. There's been...
Oh, yes.
Converge, there's been
Ori in the Blind Forest, yeah. Yeah.
Ori as well. And I think other games like Environmental Station Alpha do a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And this has kind of come... It didn't have really any press release, but it's just so fucking good. The soundtrack is fucking awesome. There's parts where you get that sort of like cathedral-esque sound from the Castlevania.
Yeah, okay.
Castlevania side of things, and then there's other sections where you've got the like a Ghibli sort of soundtrack as you're going through a more verdantly forested place, and that's just, yeah, as I said last week, the actual gameplay is solid, and there's so much shit to do. I've been playing it for like 15 hours and I think I've uncovered about half the map now.
Mm.
And there's several ways to go through the story. There's multiple endings. I don't know how to get them all, but I want to find out. And
yeah,
there's really funny and charming things you can do with the character, the NPCs as well. Like, there's a couple of larger beetle bros, basically. They're brothers, but they don't see, they're like on other corners of the map.
Mm.
But if you refuse to kill one of them, because you get an option to kill one, and if you refuse to kill him, he goes and just hangs out with his other brother. His other brother's a painter, but also a sword master. And you walk in, and the brother who went to visit is now being painted like one of his French beetles. So that's cool.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's charming. There's lots of things like that.
This is a game that you've made me want to play this game. Let's put it like that. Like I've been talking to you outside of this about it and everything. And it wasn't even on my radar until the praise that you had for it. Makes me want to get it and play it and sink some time into it because it sounds fucking cool.
I'm telling everyone about it. Like even friends who haven't played video games in a long time, like, oh, the Switch is out. I'm like, well, you should get it on the Switch because it's coming on to the Switch soon, yeah, cool. If not already. So, which is good news for it and the Switch because the Switch needs more. And this is a fucking good option to have.
Mm.
Yeah, other than that, I picked up Path of Exile again. The patch came out and the league that's out, the Legacy League, is really fun. You can like mash up all the other leagues if you find the stones, and
yeah,
that gets really intense because you can get the stone that when you kill things, more things pop out of their bodies. And
yeah.
You combine that with the stone that basically gives you kill streaks. So you want to kill things really fast, which makes the things pop up faster. And then shit starts flying everywhere and you can't see where your character is, and then you die.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's the ending that you want.
That's part of Exile, really.
But we should do a bit more on that because, I mean, we've brought Path of Exile up a few times on the podcast, I think, and I don't know if we've ever sort of actually explained what it is. It's like a Diablo-esque, well, it's not really Diablo-esque, it's spiritual Diablo successor to Diablo 2, realistically.
Yeah.
Like,
It's in my opinion, it's much more like Diablo 2 than Diablo 3 is. Yeah. But it's...
If you're in that camp...
It's not the same either. Like, it's not... Like, you've got way more customization of your skills, which you didn't have in Diablo 2.
Mm.
But
like there are builds, like you've spent tens, I wouldn't say hundreds, but tens of hours on a build only to realize that the build is so broken that you can't actually complete the game with it.
Yeah, it's just not good enough.
The skill tree is kind of like the sphere grid in Final Fantasy X. It is fucking massive. It's so huge.
I love that. Because the characters, the seven characters, they all start on different points. One starts right in the middle. She's actually shit at the moment, so pretend I didn't say anything about her. She will be buffed in the big patches coming in July, I'm sure. Okay. But everything's going to be fucking changed all over again in July.
But if you want, and the good thing, this is a free game as well. So if you played Diablo 2 and loved the shit out of it, like pretty much everyone in the world did, and you played Diablo 3 and were not that impressed by it, then maybe check out Path of Exile because... Mm. God damn, it's one of those games that I really wish that I had the time to sink into, because I played a few hours with you, Joe, and I could very much see that it's a game that, it's hundreds of hours worth of content, and you've got to be ready for that,
And they give you more every 3 months, basically,
and it's fucking free.
Yeah, like there's nothing you can't do in the game without. Like that you would have to pay money for.
There's no paywalls at all.
Not at all. Mm. There's like a sort of semi paywall in the fact that you can buy more stash space.
Yeah.
But a lot of the shit you just kind of learn that you don't keep anyway. Like even the uniques. Like I'm a unique hoarder, so I bought stash pages so I could all uniques. That's the only reason I did it. And, you know, it was $20 for like four more pages, and that's effectively the price I would pay for the game anyway.
Yeah, exactly. If you get 200 out of enjoyment, that equates to, you know, like $10 per, you know,
yeah,
like $1 per 10 hours of enjoyment, which is pretty fucking good, really.
I'm pretty sure I've put at least 200 hours in.
Yeah, I would say you have as well. You've also been playing a bit of Gwent, man.
Yeah, I still like it. I can see myself falling slower and behind the eight ball further and further because people keep getting more and more cards and more levels, and I get back in and, oh shit, what does that do? I don't know.
That's one thing I don't like about like those CCGs, those competitive card games and stuff like that, is that you need to be playing those all the fucking time to stay relevant. Like I feel like I've got a big week this week. I played a little bit of Overwatch, but I'm probably going to step away for a few days. I can come back at the end of the week and still compete because, you know, I'm not at a huge level, but like in CCGs, it just seems like if you miss the start of a season or if you are out for a little while,
and it's all tied to the way that you unlock cards.
Mm.
And that bothers me, but I'm willing to do it because I feel like the rate at which you get cards in Gwent is pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
If you win six rounds in a day, you usually get enough.
How long do the rounds last for, though? Like, how long is a game?
Depends. All four games I played on, what was it, Friday afternoon? Saturday.
Mm.
All four games I played lasted for about 5 minutes because I made two of them quit.
You got stumped. Okay, good.
I won all four games. I won all four games. Fret not, my friend.
That's good.
I won all four games. Yeah, the only one that lasted right to the end, like the guy knew he lost, but he just kept playing anyway. Like he just wanted to see what was going to come out, I think. And he got his last card in the ending draw because in the third round, you both get one card.
Yeah.
His last card was a potion that could only buff, you know, that could buff a single character. He didn't have any characters on his side of the map.
Oh, good.
Buff one of mine. As like a good mannered...
Fuck you.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Fucking happy points.
Yeah.
Something exactly. Like that. Or he's just having fun.
Sounds fun. That's another game I've got to get.
Yeah.
God damn it, there's too many games to play.
It is. It's fucked.
It's fucked, hey. Myself, I have... Actually, we did this last Tuesday, Joey. We got a little game called Stories Untold and spent about half an hour, 45 minutes playing through the first episode of that.
That was fun.
That was... Fuck.
It would be good if it was actually multiplayer, like you could share a keyboard input.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be really rad.
We had to stagger it and...
Now you're
you up to here yet?
Four episodes, is it?
I want to do another one as soon as I can, but it's been a really, really busy week. We played the first episode of Stories Untold last week, and I watch a lot of horror movies and play scary games like Amnesia, whatever, you know.
Creepy.
This game's fucking creepy. Like I jumped. Like I actually jumped.
Now it's all like a text input.
It's a fucking text-based game.
It's a text adventure, but they give you like a little atmosphere to live in that you like, you can see the environment that you're part of.
So yeah,
you've got to kind of put yourself also inside the game, typing into the text machine.
Typing in a computer.
Have you gone past that, Joey, to the next episode or not?
I'm in the same boat. I just haven't had a chance to get to it yet.
Yeah, because from what I understand, the mechanic completely changes in the second episode, and each four episodes have a different actual mechanic.
I'm so keen on it because I was so pleasantly surprised. I honestly thought I was like, oh, look, this is going to be a text-based adventure. I'll probably play it for 5 minutes and then be like, okay, I know what this is, and then go. And then like from minute two, I was absolutely hooked and shitting myself the entire way through. Like,
Once the tone changes, it just...
Oh, man.
It's like, oh, shit.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now. And like straight afterwards, I was raving, just like, God, if it's like $9 or something on Steam. Honestly, if you have been playing games for a while, you remember those old text-based adventures. You ever played a GMUD game? Like, remember those old GMUD games, like the Dragon Ball Z ones and stuff, those text-based adventures and everything that people used to create. If you ever played those, go get Stories Untold. It's fantastic.
It's not like an RPG or anything like the MUD games, but if you have a penchant for just sort of like that sort of text input,
Now, one day we'll get a review up on the website for this as well.
Hopefully. Yeah, we should. There will be a review up on the website, hopefully.
I'll try and do that.
Yeah, relatively soon.
That'll be my jam.
Yeah, it will be your jam. The good news about Stories Untold as well is that all the computers and like the sound effects and stuff were done by the same guys, apparently, I've read somewhere, who did the Alien Isolation stuff. Yeah. So it is all fantastic 80s-based stuff. And it makes
really high fidelity as well, like the way they've rendered it in the game.
Yeah. It looks fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I've also been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, because
how good is that fucking game?
Man, you know, you're right when you say it's got problems. I admit that it's got problems, but I'm just having fun with it. It's just fun. It's there's something so satisfying about stalking like a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex, like a mechanical Tyrannosaurus Rex, and like honing in, looking at its like walking pattern, seeing, okay, when it passes this, you know, this place over here, I can get one of my pulse arrows between its, you know, between its sort of, you know, its strides and hit, you know, the undercarriage of it and blast that part off. And then, because that's a big part of it is sort of tactically defeating your enemies. I'm playing it through on very hard, which is, it is quite challenging. And the arrows do fucking no damage. So you've really got to expose those weak points. Yeah. So, you know, in a lot of cases that means taking off armor plating, and to do that, you need certain arrows. So if you see a dinosaur that you want to, or you know, for lack of a better term, a dinosaur, a machine that you want to kill, you go, okay, well, fair enough. I need a couple of explosion arrows. I know it's weak to fire. So I've got to go and get some blaze and stuff like that and craft some fire arrows. It's really cool.
The fact, like the bellow back, I think it was the ones with the if you fire. Like the first time I came across one of them is in the cauldron, I think it is, and ages. And then every time I saw one of them in the wild, I'm like, this is going to take ages to take down. And now I'm sitting there. I know its weak spots. I know where to hit it, and I've got the right arrows for it. They take 30-40 seconds, and I'm not even close to dying. So.
Yeah, it's really cool the way you learn. Actually, I did have and I explained this to you, Joe, the other day. I had one of the coolest moments that I've had that I can remember in video games, and that's, I'm pretty sure it was one of those bellowbacks, but it was an ice-based one. Yeah, it was a cryo-based one, and I was sitting in some bushes, and I fucked up, and a watcher saw me, and it alerted everything around me, and I was like, oh, shit. And so the bellowback comes running towards me, and it reared up on its hind legs, and all these watchers were around it. And it reared up on its hind legs and sort of like reared up and came to stomp on me. And I slowed down time and shot its undercarriage, shot one of those canisters, and the whole fucking thing exploded. Boom. And everything got frozen. And I was like, oh my fucking God, that is fucking cool. But then eventually everything unfroze and killed me straight away.
Yeah. I love the grazers, the one that looked like deers with the four canisters on their back.
Oh, they're sick looking, aren't they?
I slowed down time, hit them with a fire arrow, one in each of the... I hit three in that slow motion time in one of the canisters, and I just sit back and watch, and the whole bloody field blows up and takes every single robot out in the field.
Yeah. It's the same kind of feeling when you go to GTA and you put on unlimited grenades and you start throwing them at cars. Like it's a fantastic game.
Like I've heard, like I see a lot of Shadow of Mordor in it, where I just ran around like that, just picking fights and having fun that way. That's why I'm enjoying it so much. But I've also heard someone comment to say it's the best Assassin's Creed game ever made. And I sort of agree with that as well.
It's Ubisoft all over.
Yeah,
It's got the Far Cry look. It's got all the like hidden objectives and the towers.
The interesting part about the towers is there's only about three in the entire... It's not like you climb one every 5 seconds to get a new portion of the map unlocked. There's only about three in the entire game, apparently. They signify large portions of the game that you've just unlocked. So it's, you know, it's a bit... different in those terms, but you still have to climb towers. You still have to climb towers in fucking Zelda, apparently. So, you know, whatever.
But there's still climbing to get the... Have you done the statues?
The long necks? No.
No, it's just it's a statue in the game. You buy a treasure map from one of the things and you find these.
Oh, yeah.
And they're literally just a climbing puzzle anyway to get to the top, and then you get to the top and you rappel down like you would do a eagle flight or whatever it is, the jumping from the top, so...
Yeah. Look, and again, the game's got problems, but it just feels good to play, and I think that's the biggest selling point of this game is the aiming feels good, the combat feels good, and it flows well. It's not disjointed. It just feels good to play, and that's why I'm sticking with it. The story is, I think it's going to ramp up. I've heard a lot of people, and like, you know, people that I sort of respect in the games industry, people like Jeff Gerstmann, who hates fucking everything, you know, give this game a raving review and saying by the end of the game, he just, the thing that kept him playing at the end was the story. It gets so fantastic. Okay. You know, so I'm waiting for that to sort of happen right now.
In Slack, I hate the Nora. The Nora as a tribe, I don't feel any affection or any want to save them at all or help them out. I'm only doing it to try and...
They're kind of dicks, huh?
They're terrible people, to be honest, and I would probably wipe them all out if I could. But that, like, there's a lot of characters that just mean nothing to me. They've thrown at me so far. There's no characters I've got attached to it. I just want to basically play Aloy running around killing robots and...
Yeah, you know, I thought I was going to hate Aloy. I really did. Looking at the trailers and stuff. She's likeable, which is interesting because I thought I was going
to
hate her. I really did.
She's got a bit of sass to her as well in a few of the dialogue options.
Yeah, she gets pretty pissed off with people pretty quick, huh?
Yeah.
She's like, just fucking do it, mate. What are you talking about? Just stop being dumb. I'm going to shoot you with an arrow if you don't fucking shut up and listen to me. So that's pretty, yeah. But yeah, moving on.
Let's do that.
Butters.
Yes. Is he still here?
Yeah. Hey, he really is feeling hot-o shoes this week, yeah. What have you been up to, dude?
Mate, what haven't I been up to?
Let's start with Ghost Recon.
Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about that.
So, I haven't played too much Ghost Recon yet. I've only been trying to plug through the missions and whatnot that were in the beta. It seems like the game's a lot less broken than it was in the beta.
That's kind of what you want out of a game that's
pretty
been
much
released.
Yeah. So,
this isn't the vision, mate.
A few of the sticky points, like driving and whatnot, they seem to have fixed that. So,
good.
It's good to get around now. The helicopter's still a bit shitty to fly around, but what can you do?
What game has good helicopter controls, but for real?
GTA.
GTA.
GTA has perfectly good helicopter controls.
They're not good, but you know,
it's an air tank. That's what it feels like when you're fucking flying it.
You can still go sideways. You can't go sideways in a tank.
You can if you get hit hard enough with another tank.
I do legitimately enjoy flying around in a helicopter in GTA because I like to pick up my controller just to do it. I'll drive with the keyboard, and I'm fucking good at it by now, but I still pick up the control because I like having the twin sticks to kind of fly sideways at speed, shoot things down on the ground, and fucking swoop back out again.
It's fair enough.
I think it's good.
Yeah. I'm with Joey on that, although I don't play on PC, but yeah, flying the helicopters in GTA is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the helicopters, they bounce really well in Ghost Recon. I can attest to that.
They bounce.
When you go down to land, down is very strong.
If you're really bad at landing,
that's how you land them. That's the down is really strong, and there's nothing, you can't just tap it. It's just all or nothing.
How dare gravity?
I know, but, right?
Yeah,
it's a video game. Come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I'm enjoying it. I've played about 3 hours now, and like the biggest sticking point I've got at the moment is the fact that I've played the same content over and over again already. So I'm really keen to get onto that new content very quickly.
Yeah,
so.
Fair enough.
But more to say on it next week. I think same with Josh. So
definitely, yeah. Once I get that new content, that's gonna be something I can talk about probably at length.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's move on to, and we left this for last, because god damn you, you have a Switch.
I do.
Did you put a stick of that skin on it?
Is it doing R2-D2 noises at you?
Have you got fucking pixels on the screen
that are normal?
I oddly enough don't know what any of these problems are that people have, because I've not had a single one.
Apparently there's a few quite large ones. Yeah, the left Joy-Con desyncing from the Switch when you're playing it is apparently quite a big one.
Don't put the wrong Joy-Con color if you're playing, like, if you take them off, there's like a left and right, you know, the ones that slide in the top, so you can use it as a controller. Don't put the wrong one in the wrong controller when you've got the wristbands on, because then you can't take it out.
But my biggest gripe, we'll get into it during the news, I'll probably say, is to do with save games. But speaking of save games, how's Legend of Zelda? That's what we want to know. It is currently, I'm pretty sure I saw an article yesterday, as we are recording this, it is the second highest rated video game ever released. Ever. Mm.
I thought it was sitting behind Ocarina of Time at the moment.
Yeah, it is second. Yeah, so yeah, it is. Second. It's the second. So, it's
Zelda
Ocarina.
Is one and two.
Yep. Which, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Is it that good?
It's very good. I have had a few issues with it where generally I'm just terrible at games, so that's not against the game itself. It doesn't hold your hand when you're playing it, so you got to work some stuff out for yourself.
And that's the part that I think that I would like. Apparently it's quite a throwback to the original Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo Entertainment System, whereas you start the game, old bloke gives you sword, go.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's this as well, you know.
That's pretty much what it is, which for me, I like it, but sometimes I get frustrated because I can't figure out why I can't do this one thing. So I've got to look it up on the net and go, oh, well, actually that makes sense, but thanks for telling me, game.
Yeah, don't look it up on the net. It's supposed to be a game about discovery.
It is, but there's sometimes it's just like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
I've not looked up anything pertaining to the main quest. It's generally side missions. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've been on this for 2 hours. I don't get it.
So you are enjoying it overall?
I am enjoying it.
Playing it docked or you're playing it handheld mostly?
I'm playing it mainly docked. So there's been a few stutters here and there. Pretty much in the spots where people have said that I'm getting stutters on the Switch in this spot when it's docked. The short time that I have played undocked, it has been very smooth. The Switch definitely is more, in the eyes of Zelda, is more of the handheld than upscale to the 900p.
Yeah, okay. Weird.
So how much of this is Zelda love up pushing up that
See, that's
rating?
What I can't get away from, hey? I can't
talk about it because I haven't played it, and I do want to play it, and it's really making me want to buy a Switch, but...
I think that people... don't get me wrong, I love Legend of Zelda. It's one of the most important gaming franchises of all time. But Ocarina, the best game of all time? Get fucked. No, it's not. There's plenty of games that you could argue that are better than Ocarina, over the years. Majora's Mask is better than Ocarina, and it was a fucking, at best, today it would be DLC, Majora's Mask, more or less. But, you know, this game, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, like, Ocarina broke new ground. It was the first 3D Zelda. It did things that no other adventure game, third-person adventure game, had done before at that time. It set a bar, it set a standard. Legend of Zelda takes very well-defined, already existing, you know, gaming, you know, elements and stereotypes and features and all that sort of stuff, and just refines them into a very Nintendo-esque world. I don't know, man. I really want to play it. I think it's going to be incredible. I think it very well could be one of my games of the year, but the second best game of all time?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Even as the Zelda fan that I am, I probably wouldn't have it at second best.
Yeah.
I probably haven't really, honestly, played through enough of it to really get it. I know you can knock it down in about 18 hours if you're just focusing on main quest.
Well, someone was telling me you can actually run straight to... You can, from the start of the game, you can do anything that you want, even run straight to Ganon's castle and fight Ganon. The chance of you beating him is none. It, like, almost nil. But it's going to make for some really interesting speedruns, I think.
Definitely.
You know.
Well, there's already speedrunners doing it. Someone's already got to the main boss in 50 minutes.
Yeah, fuck, that doesn't surprise me at all.
But they haven't actually completed it yet, so...
Yeah.
So that's, my favourite part of this whole... Okay.
That's because I've heard that the Ganon fight is one of the hardest they've ever put in the game.
Yeah, look, this... Yeah,
so on
it's,
top of being able to get there, if you're still... Basic Link, you're fucked.
Yeah, this is a hard Zelda game. Like, this is the hardest Zelda game, and I've heard some people compare it. It's like Dark Souls Zelda. Like, it's very you can go wherever you want. The weapons actually degrade this time. You've got a stamina bar that, you know, you have to keep an eye on when you're fighting and stuff. People have sort of drawn parallels to Dark Souls. That's interesting as well.
There's my favorite extra part cool shit, though, out of this whole situation is all the memes that have been coming out about Xbox, Nintendo, and PlayStation, just to be honest.
Oi, they're fucking funny, eh?
Feels bad to be an Xbox guy.
Poor Xbox, man. I feel bad for them. They've got a good console. It's just that I don't know what they've done with games. Like, I actually don't know what they've done with games. Like, I think who wrote the article? It was very recently. It was like on Polygon or somewhere like that. And, like, usually credible or credited websites don't get involved in console wars shit. Yep. I'm using inverted commas there, you know, fucking in console war shit, because it's dumb. Realistically, console wars are silly. More games available to more people means more people can play them and enjoy them. That's what we should all hope for as video game fans. But this article said, you know, the the exclusives gap has become like a giant chasm now. Like there is just there's Forza, Gears of War, and but even then, like these are tried and true franchises that they keep releasing every couple of years. Calling them exclusives at this point is kind of, it's almost unfair. And you know, you've got Sony, and there are also a lot of them on PC, and you got PlayStation 4 bringing out, you know, Naughty Dog working on something new with that weird fucking zombie thing, and you've got you got Horizon Zero Dawn, which is new IP as well. Neo, which is new IP. Nier Automata, which isn't new IP, but like they've got all this.
Nier's on PC.
Nier's coming out on PC as well.
Might be going to PC as well.
Oh, that'd be rad. But you know, you've got all these.
That's not the thing. Like the new IPs. You're not saying they. Most of them come to PC as well. All of them now come to PC as well. All the Xbox exclusives anywhere on PC.
But you have to buy them from the store.
If I want to play it, I can own a PC and buy it on the PC store as a PC version. I don't need an Xbox One anymore whatsoever.
Yeah. And isn't it?
I don't think that's not the point. Like that's like that. I think they want to actually try and develop their game store.
Yeah,
whether they're willing to do it, it's a loss of actually having a dedicated console, or maybe they'll actually just push towards having some sort of PC type thing. Like they could be making the new Xbox Scorpio into a Steam machine, effectively.
Could be 100%.
Yeah, true.
They could be, and it's been the way they've been wanting to push for a while. I mean, you look at when they announced the Xbox One; it was always online. It was, you know, all digital downloads. Mm-hmm. It was more or less a Steam machine.
Yeah,
Spencer's a pretty smart guy. He's been doing pretty good things for the Xbox, or just the games division, I should say. In Microsoft,
I would say no, because they're getting fucking hammered in terms of console sales. Yeah. Whether you want to admit it or not,
I think
the world is not ready
for
digital only. He's trying to. He's doing the best he can, but the world is not ready for digital only. I don't want digital. I'm a collector. How the fuck do I collect digital games? There's nothing I can touch. There are large portions of the gaming market, and there are large portions of the world that aren't ready for digital. I mean, we're talking about 60 gig downloads when a lot of the world is still absolutely marred by fucking download limits and shit like that, and caps. How the hell are you expected to download... itself. Yeah, how the hell you download, you know, expected to download two or three games plus all their fucking day one patches, you know, equaling, you could quite easily blow your fucking entire month's bandwidth on a game.
Yeah.
How the fuck do they expect the world to move to digital when that shit still happens?
Yeah, they're living in a bubble that thinks that everyone is in equal footing, but it's just not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's noble. I think we're a long way off. But even then, I still want discs, so fuck everyone. Hey, Josho, what have you been up to for the past week, man?
Yeah, not much, eh?
Because fuck, we sort of just hijacked all your shit there, went from Switch to Xbox to all sorts of shit. But
Before we go into the news, can I hear about him leaking cartridges, please?
Oh, yes.
I know everyone else is doing it.
As a lot of other people have probably seen, Nintendo put a bittering agent into the plastic on their cartridges, so I wanted to taste it, and it fucking tastes horrible. Don't do it.
I thought you'd say they put a bittering agent into Perko because he seems really bitter towards the Switch at the moment.
That's just salt.
Yeah, that is salt. You're right about that.
So what did you use to get that taste out of your mouth, just out of interest?
I took a swig of gin.
Yeah, and that helped?
That's pretty rough.
No, it didn't. But it made me feel bad.
Fuck, that is rough. That is rough. All right, let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
Oh, man, there's a little bit of news. As I stated before we began this podcast, we are living in a post-Switch world. It is out. It is out there in the wild, and people are generally pretty happy, actually, surprisingly.
A lot of people said that's the best console launch in a long time.
Which they're absolutely kidding themselves, because there seems to be quite a few problems. I'm not too sure. This is what kind of ticks me off. People's love for a brand will bring them to excuse that brand for fucking anything.
Yep.
Anything. And it really irks me and pisses me off. Because fair enough, Nintendo, you did a good thing. You released a good console. It's probably going to be a good one. Your first revision of it is shit. Mm. Fix it.
That's the thing, though. Early adopters are pretty much going to take one for the team in this one.
Yeah.
Yep. So. I'm happy with that. I'll take one for the team.
Mm.
I'll give you a better Switch.
Yeah, I mean, like there are things that need to be fixed. Like we've got the left Joy-Con disconnecting issue. The fact that you can't charge it while you've got it in stand-up mode is a design flaw that seems quite silly.
That was weird. Did you see Notch's fix for that?
Apple got away with it.
Yeah, Apple did, but
that's magic powers.
Anyway, but you know, so there's already apparently like peripherals and stuff you can get that like prop it up, like while it's in stand mode. But here's the one that just baffles me. You know, I spoke about this in the Slack. The fact that your save games can't be backed up anywhere. They only exist on the Switch console, and for whatever reason your Switch breaks, you lose all of your game content for every game you've played on the Switch.
So that means if I want to take my Zelda cartridge over to my mate and play it on his Switch, I
cannot do it.
Cannot do it. Fuck me.
You have to start a new game. The only place your save game exists is on that Switch. There is no way to back it up to a cloud. There's no way to back it up to USB. There's no way to transfer it. It is on the Switch. Deal with it. If your Switch breaks, if your Switch fucking gets a cracked screen or whatever, too bad. You've lost all your game. You've lost all your saves.
I mean, it depends on how they repair it.
Yeah. But like if you get a refurb console, like if it dies, you know what I mean?
If they don't just replace the screen, which is very possible because they have a really fucking high repair rate. Like if you iFix it, they did a teardown, it gets an 8 out of 10.
Yep.
That's an easily repairable piece of kit.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
So it's very repairable in that you probably won't lose any of the physical hardware if you just got a cracked screen.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily you're going to lose everything if you cracked your screen, but some other, I mean, obviously all the other bugs that we've seen flying around, there are some really bizarre things that just seem like everything's dying. Like people have held their, they've got videos of their thing that's just fucking making random ass R2-D2 sounds at them.
Yeah.
Holding the button to stop from screeching at them.
Yeah.
I love that if you put skins on these things, it peels, that dissolves the plastic away on the Joy-Cons and it peels the screen printed logo off the back off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, who thought of this stuff?
Oh, I don't know. And the failure rate, as we were talking about, Joey, is probably still less than 1%.
Yeah.
Mm. It's probably still less than 1%. So, look, in terms of
electronics failure rate.
Yeah, pretty standard electronics. Exactly. But the fact, man, I just don't. There's no reason why you won't let people back up your save games. That is not a design flaw. That is a programming choice that has been made, and it's an incredibly bad one.
It's specifically, I said it before, it's specifically related to them trying to curb homebrew in all its forms. They do not want anyone to crack their consoles like they have with previous, like the Wii U and the Wii. They you could just put a corrupt save file on an SD.
Yeah.
And it would load it and then you had your backdoor in. That's how you put Project M in under Brawl, and you get your homebrew in that way as well. And they don't want that to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. They have no fucking choice. There's like two, De Novo gets cracked anyway.
Yep, there's two things that I'll say to that. Number one is there's obviously, PlayStations and Xboxes don't get cracked that way. So there's something in their game that allows that to happen. I'm not too sure what it is, so fix that. Secondly is that PlayStation and Xbox solved this an entire generation ago by having their own private cloud where you can upload your save data to Nintendo. Yeah. Have a fucking Nintendo cloud and allow you to upload your save data up there. Then you don't worry about home. Like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, how? Like, and this is something that, this is what pisses me off. This is not, like, to me, this is not excusable. People should be pissed off and saying, let us back up our save data, you dicks.
Yep.
But it just seems to be like, oh.
They've got fancy new Nintendo accounts now. There's no reason they shouldn't have built that into the infrastructure.
Well, defending your Nintendo accounts with a 9-digit friend code or 12-digit friend code.
Yeah, I saw them.
How the fuck is this company? Like, fuck me. It is 2017. How the fuck is a company so backwards in terms of, like, online capabilities? Mm. I don't, like, it actually blows my mind. And I'm excited to get a Switch one day, but only once they sort this shit out. Fuck. Like,
I love their response to Dead Pixels as well. That was
pretty cool.
Normal. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
there is like there's Dead Pixel. There's a limit. Like I'll accept a small one or two.
Yeah,
like I've had this, Samsung screens for ages.
This says there are green or blue specks and or portions of the screen are darker.
Yeah. Oh, that's
portions of the screen. That's
yeah. And it says, this is normal behavior. No, this is fucking great. No. Look, I feel like I rag on the Switch a bit.
It's still not going to stop me from really wanting one, and I almost went
really want one. I actually really want one, and I'm excited to play Zelda. I'm excited to play Snipperclips. I'm excited to play the new Mario game. I'm excited to play the new Smash Brothers game when it eventually gets released. I'm excited to play a whole bunch of stuff. I'm really excited to see what new Super Mario Maker comes out, because Nintendo is near and dear to my heart. It was the first console I ever owned. But what I don't want to see is Nintendo becoming the Apple of gaming. You know, with fans who will forgive them for, because that's half the problem with like Apple is their fans forgive them for fucking anything. We've proprietized what should have been, you know, a standard, so anyone can create peripherals for this, but now we're trying to get a cut of the pie, so you have to pay us for the peripherals and everything. Like, Apple do things that people should be so pissed off about, and yet they go, it's fucking groundbreaking technology. No, it's not. You're ripping cunts off. That's what you're doing, you know. Like, and I don't want to see fans forgive Nintendo for the same sort of shit. I'm not saying that they are doing it right now, but I'm worried that, you know, they'll go down the same road. I don't want that to happen, because I love Nintendo. Fix your shit, please.
I agree.
Are you still here, Butters?
Oh shit. Yeah.
Does anyone disagree with me?
Christ, man.
That's true.
Can we change our podcast name to the Mega Salty Cast for the 1 week? Just the 1 week?
Yeah, we probably should, hey. So moving on, EA's Peter Moore is leaving to become the CEO of his favourite soccer team. This is reasonably large news.
Yeah, look, it shocked me when I read it. Liverpool. He's going to be CEO of Liverpool.
Of all fucking teams.
Yeah, I know he's been a soccer fan for a long time, and I know he started in soccer shoes and all this kind of stuff back in the day, but wow, he's like Xbox?
No, Sega, Microsoft, and EA.
Like, he's the face of EA pretty much these days, especially at E3s and stuff like that, and he's...
What are EA doing these days, bud? Sports games?
Still sports games.
They had Battlefield 1, Titanfall.
Titanfall was brilliant.
Yeah, they actually got a very good review average last year for all the games they released. So, Yanni's, I think, was theirs. Yanni's, Woolly World. Not Woolly World. Yanni's, whatever.
Yanni. I don't know what you're talking about.
Little red dude.
Hutto's got the tattoo of him.
Yeah, he does.
EA one. So
Inside Out. Inside Out.
That does look like a charming game.
Unravel.
Unravel. That's it.
Unravel. That's it. Yeah,
it was a fantastic little game.
Yeah, so they had a pretty good hit rate last year, but it's weird that he's just up and changed completely.
Yeah, the other thing, apparently, he's one of the most, like, people are sort of, you know, quoting him as being one of the most quotable people in games, always approachable, really friendly, easy to talk to, always willing to talk to the small guy and everything. So it's probably going to be, it's a shame that he's leaving, and he's going to be missed in the gaming community. Best of luck going to manage at Liverpool. I don't know how well they're doing in soccer, but hopefully they're doing better than Titanfall did in sales, mate, because God damn it. Fuck, I'm on fire with just giving people shit tonight.
I can't wait till you say the next one. This one, next one's going to get you really salty too.
Oh, my fucking Lord.
I saw this. I was like,
here we go. What? So the most overrated, over-budget movie of all time is getting the most overrated game coming out of all time. Avatar's coming to consoles. I don't care.
Massive Entertainment, the team we gave Developer of the Year to last year in our end of year podcast that does the
division. Did we actually?
Yeah, we did. We voted on that. You got number one.
What do they make?
The Division. And also World in Conflict and a couple other games back in the day as well. But,
That's right, because they were listening to how people telling them how fucking broken their game was, and they fixed it.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a whole separate division that they're fucking the Division. That's a whole separate basically arm of the company that they're making. They've been employing people for the last 6 months.
You know what's good about this, don't you?
Heavily. What's that?
You know what's good about this? When the Avatar game, when it gets, like, the license gets canned because fucking James Cameron doesn't like it, they can just call it Fern Gully and it's the same fucking thing.
Did you say Pocahontas?
Or Pocahontas, either one, doesn't matter. Fuck my life.
I honestly got really excited when I first saw it because I thought that it was going to be an Avatar The Last Airbender game. And then I looked at it and I'm like, oh, fuck. Blue aliens.
All right, anyway, Xbox Game Pass. This is interesting.
No, it's not.
It looks this looks like pretty good value. There's a few reasons why. Have you read the what this actually is, Pete?
Yeah, I have. It's $10 American a month. There's about 100 games you get to download to your machine and play whenever you want. Now, my problem with it is, when do you have time to play games at the moment outside of the ones you're buying?
This isn't for like this. Okay, it doesn't fit us, but this is more or less a Netflix of games. Like this is what they're trying to do.
It's a great idea, but it's milking a cow that.
For me and you, it doesn't work very well. I'm not going to fucking play 100 Xbox games in the next, you know.
I just don't have time. I've got all these games in the world that I'm trying to play at the moment, let alone trying to go through a Netflix-style setup. And it's just another subscription we've got to give them money for. And I understand it's a really good idea, and there's people out there that are going to love it, except in Australia where you've got to download the game to your machine. So, oh, cool, I want to play Halo 5. It's in this thing. Oh, I've got to download it for the next 24 hours. Okay, hold on. Hopefully, I still want to play it in 24 hours' time.
To give him credit, but the Xbox CDN, their content delivery network, is a shitload faster than Sony's.
Which isn't hard.
It's not hard at all because Sony's is made of fucking moths and fucking hope and dreams, I'm pretty sure. It doesn't actually do anything.
Microsoft are an IT powerhouse.
That is true. If it wasn't better, I'd actually be worried.
Yeah.
That's why. If it's using Azure or Amazon, anyway.
Yeah, man, I would fucking laugh if they were using AWS for that.
Can you imagine if they fucking CDN with AWS? And it came out when fucking AWS S3 went down 2 weeks ago. Yeah. All of a sudden, the fucking CDN for Xbox is down. Everyone's like,
hang on a second.
What the fuck? That would be brilliant. But this is a beautiful segue, because speaking of Amazon, I completely missed this news last year. I completely whiffed this, but I was reading an article, Joey, that you linked about Amazon buying Twitch and the reasons why they did it. And Amazon are getting into games.
Yeah, like, they've been doing it for a while.
And they've got three games coming out, Breakaway, New World, and Crucible. And you can actually sign up for the alpha of Breakaway now.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, really?
So this is what it's described as. For a start,
poor man's Overwatch.
It kind of looks like it. I'm not going to lie. You know when a really popular game comes out and then you see the ads, like the mobile game ads that aren't for that game, but they've literally ripped the characters off? That's what it looks like. That's
going to be kind of positive about something at some stage tonight.
That's not a negative thing. It's people making money. Good on them.
What's the precedent for that? Like any... I can't remember what it is.
Game of War, Game of Chance, War of Chance, War of Game. Like all those
Crystal,
fucking games.
Candy.
That one that had that model in the ad that nearly made me look into it until I realized what it was.
I don't know. Anyway, this is what Breakaway says on the games.amazon.com/games. Nice redundancy there, boys. Breakaway is a 4x4 mythological sport brawler built for fast action teamwork and live streaming. Assemble your team from an expanding roster of legendary warriors, including the relentless gladiator Spartacus, the twisted sorceress Morgan Lee Fay, and the bloodthirsty Vlad the Impaler. Not the beer I used to drink. Summon persistent buildables onto the playable field that only alter the game, and blah, 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 blah. This is a MOBA, but with sport elements. Cool. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. But interesting. Then you got New World, which is a massively multiplayer, open-ended sandbox game set in a living, cursed land. And Crucible, which it's another hero-based shooter, it looks like. So they're sort of getting into games, which is interesting, because if there's one thing Amazon do have, it's a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fucking money. Yeah. Could we see some quality games coming out of Amazon?
No.
I reckon we might.
Come on. No. Where's this positivity you're talking about, Pete?
they've taken the Crysis engine and made it into something usable with the Lumberjack engine.
And that is true. And what's using it? Star Citizen? Yep. Yeah.
No, Star Citizen.
If they weren't bringing out just the Wrath of Blizzard games, I might be interested. But there just seems to be nothing unique about these games, to be honest.
Can they out Blizzard?
No, they can't.
We don't know if there's nothing unique about them yet.
That's true. So I'm actually going to sign up for the alpha of Breakaway, see if I can get in, and we might have some more to talk about at a later date. Oh, here we go, Pete. This is one for you, I guess.
Yeah, mate, I wrote it in there, so it probably is for me. Destiny, hey, woohoo! They're doing a big farewell celebration. They're unveiling everything. I think it's the 8th. It's the 8th of March. They're going to start the unveiling. It's called something, something, something. I'm not that prepared.
Farewell. Wait, a farewell. Shutting servers down, farewell?
No. This will just be the last bit of live content that they release for Destiny before Destiny 2 comes out. The big news was that they said you will not carry your characters forward to the next stage of Destiny. We will, however, allow you to do some things like bring your appearance forward and other little bits and pieces. So the pictures that they put out and all the little bits that they've teased for this so far pretty much are the Vault of Glass and a few other bits and pieces to do with other raids. So it looks like they're just going to raise the level of the raids so everyone can play them
again. This is so fucking cool. Come and help us celebrate the last bit of new content that is old content. Yeah! Well done.
We don't
it's
know,
basically
but that's
Destiny
what,
in a nutshell, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the speculation at the moment. Look, I would go back and play it one last time to play those raids at a bit harder level just to have a bit of fun with my mates, because that's what the game was all about.
I'll just wait for Destiny 2. We'll do it all again. Yeah,
probably. But
with better story, maybe.
Well, I've got to hope so. Anyway.
It's not going to be hard to beat, realistically.
Let's move on to another franchise that keeps on bringing out the same thing in different paint jobs.
Oh, that's true, but it still gets better and better, and it's still fucking good.
No, they're good.
Total Warhammer, man. I remember the first time in a Total War game. This isn't Total Warhammer. In a Total War game that I ever catapulted a dead cow into someone's base and like diseased everyone, and I just thought that was the
best
most disgustingly
ever.
Hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life. So Total War doing great things, and this one, Joey, do you want to jump on this?
Fucking wait. Well, yeah. I hope they don't. Well, I mean, the problem is the Creative Assembly guys and Sega don't have the best business model for their games. They give you like a big sort of experience, and then they kind of add on these extra bits, and they make them fucking expensive for what they are most of the time. So like the Beastmen and the Beastmen campaign was interesting. It's like an extra way to play the game, and you know, you can then fight them in the regular campaigns and stuff like that, but I don't think it's worth $25.
Yeah.
Anyway, the big news that I saw last week, so they're not actually going to add all the races to this installation of Total War Warhammer. I was almost fucking beside myself with rage until I realized that they explained why. Because they're actually going to release a sequel which ties in to the first one.
Oh,
and
okay.
It expands it. So it's effectively an expansion, but also a sequel, and adds in more races. And they're going to do another one. So they're going to make this whole Total War Warhammer series a trilogy, which will eventually have all 15 races. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty damn cool.
So they're going to have... Cool. I can't wait, because I'm positive the next one will have the High Elves, the Dark Elves, Lizardmen, and Tomb Kings. Lizardmen and Tomb Kings are my favourites of all the races. And I think the third one will be the Ogre Kingdoms and the...
The Reptilians, huh?
Yeah, Lizardmen. Like Aztecian Lizardmen. You know, it's in the name, really.
I understand, but jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams. So.
Lizard people.
Yes. Yes. Okay, fair enough. Right.
Lizard people. Use your pronouns correctly.
Yeah, well.
But I'm excited, as long as they don't fucking nickel and dime and add in weird little things for too much money, like a blood pack for fucking $10 or something. Yeah. Which they have done for a lot of the games recently. They just need to take the prices down on the extra shit. That's all I want. I'm fine with paying $60 or $70 for a big core experience, which they do, but then adding on another $100 worth of shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
I understand. Maybe. So we're actually running really ridiculously late, so we're going to jump through the next few things. Lawbreakers closed beta. Do we care?
No.
I want to see more anti-gravity things, so I kind of care, I guess.
Anti-gravity is always fun. I'll like probably check that out with you if my computer fucking handles it. Dawn of War 3 release date. Fuck, I watched the trailer for this before. It looks gorgeous. Looks absolutely gorgeous.
The 17th. I'm pretty sure it's the 27th, but I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, but I played the beta that very recently came out. It's good. I think I need to do a little bit of balance, but it's good.
That's a beta. That's what it's there for. GTA Online stuff. That
Guns on cars.
What?
More stunt stuff.
Weaponized, yeah.
Both. Man, imagine if they built in a fucking flips
with guns and cars.
If they fucking built in Twisted Metal or like Vigilante 8 into GTA Online, that would bring me back. Holy fuck, that'd bring me back.
Well, they put Tron into it, so why not?
Yeah, but does anyone remember fucking Vigilante 8? That fucking game?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yep.
You get the and you used to be able to do special moves by like going like remember the mortar you sit on the side of your car, it was like left, right, down, and then fire, and it did like a super mortar, and it just fucking leave big craters. We used to call it the Crater Maker. Oh man, that was so much fucking fun. God, that game was good. They remade it a couple of years ago for Xbox 360, and that was fantastic as well. Right. Anyway, so Guns on Cars, if you like GTA Online, go for it. Rogue Trooper Redux 2000 AD.
Yeah, so it's Rogue Trooper is one of the 2000 AD. Properties, like he's basically not a sidekick to Judge Dredd, but he's featured in the Judge Dredd comics.
For those of you who don't know, 2080 is like the world in which Judge Dredd sort of exists. It's like the universe, right?
It's the name of the company who published it as well.
Yeah.
Bit of everything. I like it because it's way different to DC and Marvel.
Yes, it is.
It's way grittier. It's way more like violent a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's you know exceptions to all those rules, but you know that's when DC and Marvel have to try really hard to outdo them. But anyway,
yep. So Rogue Trooper Redux coming out, Fortnite coming out later this year.
Yeah, that basically hasn't existed for the last like if you have the Epic Games client on your computer, you will know what Fortnite is. If you remember E3 2015, 2014 even, that's when Fortnite was originally released. Or announced, so it's been you know up and down for fucking ages, and they said at Games Developer conference last week I think it was, you know the Epic Games guys like oh yeah we're bringing out Fortnite, and there was kind of like wait that game
yeah
still making that. On a side note, they saw an article this week that the last Guardian devs have confirmed they're making a new game coming 2027.
Is that what? Are you joking me?
No, I'm joking. At the end, it said only kidding, but they have announced a new. They're making.
I would have believed that. I would actually would have been like, yeah, it's okay, fair enough. I'll at least they're fucking optimistic about their
Sony consoles in between that time.
Yeah. Jesus, I wonder how that sold. Actually, I'd be interested to see if they're going to make
it
another one.
Did it chart on any of the top tens over the period that it was on?
Mm.
And there was some rough games that did chart.
It should never have. I don't think Shadow of Colossus did either.
Yeah, it's got a cult following. Speaking of shadows, Shadow of War teaser.
Teaser of a teaser. Yeah, they did a little teaser because the gameplay trailer comes out pretty much about the time you'll be listening to this.
Calling out favourites here. Loving teaser of a teaser for this, but you just want everything to shut off about fucking... what's his...
No, this game comes out in 6 months' time. That's the thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, fuck off, whatever. anyway, it shows the main character flying... riding one of the flying beasts. So check it out and, check out the gameplay reveal.
Like, be good. I couldn't make it out. Like, it was so short that I couldn't tell that he was riding the thing. I thought it was just flying. On its own volition, because like,
he's definitely on
it's
the back
so
of
short. It, so. It's fucking subliminal marketing. It's like that's how short the fucking. It's like just a frame. Dunk. It's like what was that porn?
Yep.
Do we have any listener feedback?
We did, but I don't know where it is.
We'll do it next week. So, what we're going to do, guys, is we've actually opened up a new channel in the Discord called Podcast. So anyone who is a member of our Discord can just jump in that podcast and just ask us a question, and we will answer it on the podcast. Yeah.
Mm. Now, Demanji, is that that's Jesse? Yeah,
that's
it?
Jesse.
Oh, that's so fucking funny, man. The story behind that name is hilarious. Jesse, I'm going to call you out here because you're a beautiful dude. He might not even want me to tell everyone this, but he was... Oh, this is great. Yeah, too bad. Too bad. So Jesse came into our Discord. He's a member of the USM community. He's been there since more or less, you know, day dot sort of thing. And he's a respected member. He comes in, he's like, hey guys, I want to change all my gaming handle and stuff like that. And we're like, okay, cool. You know, we'll start to think of names, and he used Karma for a while, and he didn't really stick with that. And then I decided to give him a troll, and I just typed in, I went to Google Translate and just typed in dumb Jesse just translated it to Japanese. And so I come back in, I'm like, hey man, how about Demuji? And he's like, that sounds cool. What is it? I'm like, oh, it's like the Japanese god of war and technology. And he's like, that's fucking rad. And then about 5 minutes later, I'm like, I can't do this to you, man. I just fucking, and showed him a screenshot of me typing dumb Jesse in and translating. And he's like, oh, fucking thanks a lot, Perko, whatever. And he's like, actually, I might use that. And he's like, no one will know that it means dumb Jesse. so props to him. Yeah,
nah,
so everyone, yeah, but props to him for fucking, you know, taking the joke and running with it. What a legend. But he's asked, yeah, he's a great lad. He's asked us, do you think the Switch will drop in price, and did they sell as many as they wanted to?
Well, I could still get one on the weekend, which I was surprised about.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I don't think there's a drop in price coming at all.
Nah, maybe holiday this year. Maybe. Yeah.
Well, holiday this year. The Wii U
holiday this year,
never
you get Mario, so...
Didn't the Wii U never drop in price, and it's the shittiest, most unselling console in history?
No, the Wii U dropped in price. I picked mine up on sale for like $250 or some shit. Like, it was cheap as fuck.
Really? I thought that was still $400 Australian not long ago.
No, they've had sales and stuff. I don't know if it's dropped across the board, but they've had like sale periods and everything. The Switch will most certainly drop in price. And did they sell as many as they wanted to? The fact that they're still on the shelves, probably not. Nintendo generally are an incredibly conservative company. I actually commented on someone's Facebook post. They were sort of saying, giving Nintendo's business strategy shit because they were sort of implying that Nintendo like to make things rare by not releasing enough of something. And I sort of commented, my own opinion is that Nintendo are just a very conservative sort of company. So they sit down and they go, okay, well, all of our algorithms state that we are going to sell between X amount and Y amount. Make a little bit less than X amount.
Yeah.
We don't want to have tons of these things sitting in a fucking warehouse somewhere that we can't sell. So make a little bit less than what we think is the least amount that we can sell. And, you know, considering that there's still, you know, switches out there, I would say that they probably haven't met what they thought their target was going to be.
Yeah. It sold less than a lot of consoles, and I think even the Wii U in the UK.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
I thought it was somewhere that sold double as many in the UK, but
nope.
No, okay.
There's a guy on Twitter. He's either a, you know, a games analyst somewhere. His name is Juge DX, I think it is, or EX. Mm. He tends to leak things, so he knows something.
Oh, that guy.
Fair enough. Yeah, and his display picture on Twitter is Juge Liang, which is an old Chinese strategist from the Han Dynasty era, when the Three Kingdoms were around, basically. Yeah, anyway.
Sure.
He's donned that, and he keeps like quoting stats all the time, and he seems really knowledgeable on basically everything in the games industry to an extent. And he just like blasted a bunch of stats about, you know, how it wasn't poor, but it really wasn't great. A great first week.
Cool. Agreed. So, Jesse, answer your question. No and no. Oh, yes and no, sorry. Benson. Benson times one gajillion in our Discord has asked... This is so good.
Benson's so power of rad.
Yeah. People bought the Switch to play the new Zelda game when it's on the Wii U, performs worse on the Switch, and looks exactly the same. Has Nintendo pulled off the greatest bamboozle of all time? Yes. Yes, they have. They did the same thing, more or less.
Better on the Switch.
Well, there are slight differences, but you know, for all intents and purposes, it's not that different. So they did the same thing.
Emulated on the PC, and it looks way better.
Fucking pirated as fuck.
Do you know the biggest bamboozle they're going to do though? In a month's time, they're going to release the same game on Wii U again with an extra mode for a full retail price with Mario Kart.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with another Zelda game.
Companies do that.
Another two consoles a couple of years ago, with the GameCube version of Twilight Princess, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the other version.
Yes.
So nowadays, the Twilight Princess version of the game, while being a little bit framey and not as good performing, is by a lot of Zelda diehards actually preferred because the control scheme uses a fucking controller, not those Wii nunchucks, which was, guess what, not great to play a Zelda game on.
They ended up delaying the GameCube version just so people would have to buy it on the Wii, I believe, by like 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks.
I think this is where I was going back to. Maybe they have created a rarity in this case because they probably want people to buy Switch to play this, so maybe they haven't actually made that many on the Wii U, maybe? I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
But they're the only two questions we got on the podcast channel. Thank you guys, both to Damuji and Benson, for giving us questions in there. Look, our Discord is completely open to everyone. If anyone wants to come and join,
you're more than welcome to. She's been active too. Holy shit, it's been crazy.
Like, we've got a lot of members. There are currently, right now, there are 45 people online in our Discord, and a lot of people are chatting. There's people playing games all the time. So if you're looking for a group of, you know, like-minded people to come play games with and just get salty on shit like Overwatch, and, you know, all sorts of stuff on H1Z1.
I've walked away from my phone to do something for about 2 hours. I've come back and there's been 200 fucking messages in that thing. I just go, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I've stopped going back and reading it. It takes me ages.
I check it throughout the day, but yeah, it gets off the chain sometimes.
It really does when there's some good conversations going. What are we looking forward to, Wilco?
Shadow of War.
Yep.
Do not remove that from this thing. Forts, still the 19th of April. Pretty keen for that. I'm going to probably try and organize a big battle between everyone fairly soon, like I was talking about last week, and killing more narcos in Bolivia. I can't wait.
Cool. Josho, what are we looking forward to?
A bit more Breath of the Wild on my glorious Switch that I now have house. I won't. I've only taken it out of the dock to go lay in bed to play it. That's literally it. Other than that, Shadow of War, looking forward to that video that comes out tomorrow, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mass Effect, because I'm a Mass Effect nerd. And
oh, fuck, that comes out soon.
It does. End of this month.
I'm so skipping that. I don't have time.
Just like Wilco taking out the Santa Blanca.
Yep.
Did you guys see the news from Bolivia itself?
Yeah, where they're not happy.
You're not like the...
Not happy, Jan.
That was the same, though, I think, with... was it Just Cause 2? I think it was based in...
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I thought that was a fictional place it was based in. How can you only get pissed at
that? It was based off a place,
One of those games, anyway, it was the same thing. They based it in a real place, and it was a drug issue and the corruption and rah-rah-rah, and they went, no, that's not us. And we're like, yeah, it is.
Imagine if Cuba ever heard about Tropico 3.
Fuck. Joey, what are you looking forward to, your menace?
Fucking Nier comes out very soon.
Like tomorrow?
I am excited. Me and my friend Mike in the States, we're trading like WebM's little videos of gameplay that gets been brought out from Nier. Yeah. It's already out in Japan.
It's coming out on
PS4. Tomorrow.
You look at the skirt straight away. Is that the first thing you're doing?
There's an achievement for that.
I'm
getting that. I need my Chivos.
Yeah.
Him and I have been trading little videos of the main character just fucking styling on one poor little guy. And there's cool shit like time bubbles and multiple swords and juggling like in the Devil May Cry games. Oh, it kind of worked.
I might buy it tomorrow and just like come and show you it at your work desk so you can just be like, fuck you, mate.
I have a PS4. I'll fucking steal it.
Oh, you do. That's true.
Don't even wave it in front of my face. I got reflexes like a wild mongoose, you motherfucker.
Get fucked, mate. Out of your hand. I'm looking forward to pissing Joey off tomorrow and having a game stolen, mostly. I'm also looking forward to playing more Horizon. There's too many good games out. Like, I want to get Nier. I'm playing Horizon. I still haven't fucking finished. What else was I playing before Horizon? I was playing something real big before Horizon. Neo, fuck my life. I've got three 900 hour games.
That in the last week. I
really want to play more of that. God damn it. I just might retire from life for a while. Too much to look forward to. Yeah. All right. Let's close this thing out, guys. It's been a lovely episode. Thank you all for coming, and thank you all for listening and making this the best podcast in the world. Probably not, but you know, best podcast in Australia. Let's say the best gaming podcast in Australia.
Let's say the best in my lounge room.
No, it's the best one featuring Jack Cardo when he wants to be on.
Yeah, exactly. This is the best gaming podcast in Australia, and thank you for listening and making it that way. If you want to keep us on the air, make sure you go to the iTunes and make sure that you tell us that you want to keep us on the air. We're probably going to do it regardless of whether you do that or not anyway. Shout-outs and plugs. Wilco.
Wilco's Chill Zone on the stuff and the things. Also, if you want to find me in Bolivia, it is free. Jeff Eegee 1.
Oh shit, that's bringing it back out. Bringing it back, boys.
But no, seriously, before you move on, go to our YouTube channel. I've got a heap of YouTube videos up on there, including my ugly mug opening Horizon Zero Dawn, and one opening Ghost Recon Wildlands Fallen Angel Edition coming up fairly soon. So check out all those videos, Ultra Super Mega on YouTube. It'd be great if you could help us out there.
Sounds fantastic. Butters, where can we catch you?
I am King_Chummer on Twitter, Mr. Buttersocks pretty much throughout the rest of the land. If you want to play games with me, specifically Ghost Recon, I am Evil Chummers on the PSN. Otherwise, I do play some games on Xbox, which is the lead Butters.
Just tweet at him.
Consolidate that shit.
Yeah, no, nah, tweet at him at Jack Hutto on all the social medias. Yeah.
Jack Hutto on all the Jack social medias.
Joey, where can we catch you, man?
I'm going to keep with the email trend. I only want emails. I do not want any of this fancy new...
Make them long, too. Like, really in-depth, really personal stuff.
Yeah, I want stories. Give me a saga. But also, it's just joey@ultrasupermega.com.au.
Sounds fantastic. You just reminded me to read the rest of Saga. I still haven't done that, goddammit. And you can catch me at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au, in the Discord, which we'll link on the Twitter. You can catch me on the Ultra Supermega YouTube page, on the Facebook, on the Instagram. I'm Supermega Matthew on Twitter. I might have already said that, but I'm rambling now. So we're going to close this out. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you next week.
Bye. See ya.